Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Well Depends podcast. I'm your host, Derek Doyle, and this is Andrew Barron. Today's episode is being recorded on May 12th, 2026. And in today's episode, we're going to go into the topic around major purchases in the face of uncertainty.
The information in this episode is current as of the date recorded and is not intended as financial, tax, or legal advice. You should consult your tax, financial, and/or legal advisors before implementing any transactions and/or strategies concerning your finances.
So, in the face of uncertainty, we mean right now the market is at all-time highs, hovering around 7,400. And we are still in the face of possible rising inflation. The latest CPI print came in higher than expected, which means inflation is starting to tick up. Gas is still hovering around $4.50 average nationwide, and oil prices have yet to really stabilize as they are still bouncing around between $95 to $105 a barrel. Geopolitical tensions are still the main focus as we enter May, as the markets are still trying to digest a lot of the news. So, what can this mean for people possibly entering retirement, already retired, or maybe trying to fund a major purchase within their life? One of those major purchases could be buying a new home, possibly a second residence, a new car, funding a travel or some sort of vacation in retirement. These are all things that we still are doing in our day-to-day lives despite the current market conditions. So what are some ways that you can help a client plan for one of those big purchases, like I laid out for the audience?
One of the big things that's done with homes is, I think that there's been a almost gamification of acquiring assets in the last, let's call it 10 years. And a lot of people feel that they need to get a deal on buying a house, or they need to buy it at the most optimal time, as if it were an investment asset. But especially your primary residence is a place to reside and raise a family and those types of things. And you shouldn't be thinking about it in black and white. I need to make a profit on this primary house. And so the key thing is, can you afford it comfortably? And that's, if the house fits all of your wishes and wants, and it is manageable on your current income, that's a fantastic time to buy a house, regardless of where interest rates are or where historical prices are. As long as you can comfortably take on that debt burden and make your monthly payments, it will work out for you, assuming you plan on holding it for 4 or 5 years, which is the historical break even. Same thing with cars. If you need a car to get along, even though, yeah, car values are very high historically, you need it to continue life. And as long as it's affordable, that shouldn't be where, oh, I'm waiting for some kind of drawback or pullback or discount or sales. That shouldn't be the determining factor. It's, if you need it today and you can afford it today, why not buy it today?
Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of clients face this dilemma of they have a lot of highly appreciated assets and they want to play the game of, is now the best time to sell, where you're not looking at further picture down the road of, I need this, I should be planning to buy this, I shouldn't be waiting on whether or not my assets keep going up in value to buy it. If you can buy it now, that's really the thing you should be planning around. The importance of setting aside cash for these expenses 6 to 12 months down the road, you are basically running the risk of hoping that the market doesn't drop 10 to 15% within that 6 to 12 months. And that can be a game that if you play it and it ends up the wrong way, it could have some major ramifications in terms of how much these things might cost you. Setting aside the major purchase agenda in terms of whether you're retired or not, rebalancing your portfolio in times like this is a good time to sit down and open up your Schwab or Vanguard account and see where you are currently positioned in the market. We've seen a lot of sectors do 100% year-to-date this year. So setting up this question, selling at all-time highs can sometimes mean that you are selling things that are doing really well in your portfolio. But how do you frame it to a client who might push back and say, I am possibly leaving some money on the table selling these really good performers at all-time highs.
Anytime we buy stocks, I like to tell not only my clients, but everyone in general, it's really important to have sell targets. It's very easy to buy. Lots of times we can go, oh, now's a great time to get in. It's much more difficult to decide now's the best time to get out. And so having disciplined sell targets, I'm going to make 50% of my money. I'm going to double my money over X period of time. When you hit those targets, take profits. And there's also this all or nothing mentality I notice a lot of people are subject to, where they feel as if they need to buy all in at a certain target and sell all out at a certain target. And ideally they buy the bottom and sell the top, which nobody does, for the record. And so that's why having instead targets that you're comfortable and satisfied with making money makes a lot more sense. And then yes, you might be giving up some of your quote unquote winners. But if you've seen things, let's say double year to date, just to give an example, what's the likelihood this trajectory continues? Because the bigger you get, the harder it is to maintain that momentum, right? It's easy to go from 1 billion to 2 billion. It's much harder to go from 1 trillion to 2 trillion just because of all of the economics and spread out past that. So even if you had something that did spectacular, why not trim it and find the next spectacular? Because there's always a deal coming around the corner. It isn't as if this is the last stock that's ever going to make any money.
Yeah. And like you were saying, in terms of the trimming your winners, it also doesn't have to be an all or nothing approach. We have many times advocated and advised clients to take some off the top. And if you truly do think there is more room to grow, just have a smaller position of it. So you are leaving some on the table if you truly think it's going to go up another 50 to 100%. But the likelihood of that, like you were saying, is more or less lower than it is to find something else and diversify a little bit. Your downside risk grows as your position grows along with it. And another point that I want to point out for a lot of our younger listeners who might be investors, what we saw transpire in the last, call it 4 to 5 months inside of the market, is just another example of why time horizon is such a key question to ask yourself over and over again. And what I mean by that is, if you are a younger investor, investing in the stock market is inherently going to show and cause short-term volatility inside of your portfolio. That's just the name of the game. But if you can get through that short-term volatility and, keyword, stay invested and not sell when things were bad in March into April, the market rebounds, and it usually rebounds to your favor in the long run, where if you are making what I would like to call bad or knee-jerk decisions with selling when you're not really needing the cash for anything specific other than you just don't like seeing your account down every single day that you open it up, those are inherently bad investment decisions. And that's why time horizon is such an important thing for young investors, where staying invested and running the course of that bad 3-month stretch pays dividends in the long run. So it's a good learning lesson for a lot of you who maybe are starting to invest, that your time horizon allows you to, you know, overcome that short-term volatility. The next topic that I think gets overlooked a lot in situations like this, where you are trying to fund a major purchase, a big ticket item, and you are rebalancing your portfolio, especially if it is a taxable brokerage account. Explain to the audience how this works in terms of an income relation towards those Medicare Part B and D premiums.
Just to quickly give a summary of the Medicare system, Part A is what comes out of your payroll every month. And so if you've been paying for 40 quarters, you are insured for Part A. Part B and Part D are things you sign up for when you turn 65. And these premiums are determined by your income from 2 years ago, meaning I'm going to use 2026 as an example. In 2026, the premiums for Medicare Part B and D are set by the amount of money you made in 2024, unless you had a major decrease in your income. Meaning, if let's say we made at the top of the bracket, we were at $500,000 of income, we were in the top tax bracket, and but most of that was due to selling a house. We can fill out a form, let Social Security and the IRS know that actually we've had a major reduction in income and our 2026 income is only 50 grand. So now we're actually in the bottom bracket. So it's a moving target and it's assessing both your income from 2 years ago and the current year income to actually assess those prenups.
Yeah. So like you were saying, it's a bit of a moving target and it can get a little complicated when it comes to current year income versus looking at 2 years ago income. The other caveat, and I think it pops up a lot when a lot of our clients or people are potentially selling or downsizing a home. I think that's where you see it most often pop up, where the Social Security Administration website says a life-changing event and those classify on their website as they consider it retirement, death of a spouse, divorce, or loss of income. Retirement could be one of those where you are downsizing, you're living a different life, and you see it pop up a lot of times where it is truly a one-off event. And like you said, it could also be very much the loss of income where you do have a really big income year, but then so you make the case and show Social Security that you do have a huge drop in income 2 years later where it is significant enough to make the case. I think that bringing in Irma, the topic of it, long story short, is more or less, if you do have this goal, whether it is travel, vacation, remodel, don't let Irma be the reason you don't go ahead and do the things that you maybe want in retirement. It is something that obviously as advisors, we want to make you aware of so it just doesn't pop up suddenly 2 years later and you're like, what is this? But we want to make sure that it isn't something that truly is stopping you from doing something that you maybe had planned out, because none of us know how our health is going to deteriorate in retirement. It is important to do the thing while we have the chance to do.
Absolutely.
So I think it's one of those things that a lot of times people focus so much on it. And yes, there are brackets where your premiums do go up 100, 200%. And it is steep in certain cases, but it's something where if it truly is a one-off, it always can be fixed and amended and planned accordingly. So it is something that we just want to bring up to your attention. Overall, I do think that this is a good topic given the current state we are in, not only the market cycle, but also with a lot of the news headlines that people are starting to see. I think having a plan and making sure that we are planning for best case and worst case scenarios is always important, whether you are in retirement or if you are just planning a big life event. You want to be making sure that you are mapping this out 6 to 12 months in advance rather than doing spur of the moment decisions that have big dollar figures attached to them.
Thanks for watching. If you found this video helpful, give it a thumbs up and hit that subscribe button so you don't miss future updates. Looking for more insights like this? Head over to our website at jgua.com for additional resources. And if you'd like to talk about your personal financial goals, we'd love to help. Just click the Schedule a Meeting button highlighted on your screen to book your complimentary consultation. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you in the next video.